Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's one of those mornings where I can actually stand here and just stand here and take rest for 5 minutes. It was one of those mornings where I came with my plan and my plans didn't work. It was one of those mornings where I had to try new things, like getting things ready for communion. But again, it is one of those mornings where not many from our church family are really doing well. There's a lot of cold and cough, people not 100% and all that things. But it's a good morning, isn't it?
Yes.
If you enjoyed snow at 4 o'clock in the morning, you could see some snow. If you got out of your house at 8 o'clock, it was mostly gone because rain was coming in. But there are enough proofs that we had snow at night. But God is good all the time. And he is indeed good that he has blessed us with another new year. The busy season of Christmas is over. Plans and all the plannings that we started in October, November came, December came, and it's Jan. And it's lovely to be standing here, to come back here once again, to praise God and thank him and to worship together as one big God's family. Before we begin, let's just spend some time thanking God for giving us this time to come together to worship him. As I said, it was a busy morning for me. We all come here with all our things, you know. For many of us, we would be going back to our school, our work, our busy life again. But why not take this moment to commit ourselves in God's hand and commit everything that is there in our mind in God's hand, saying, God, help us at this time to worship you, to get the right start and focus on you. Let's just spend a few moments in quiet before I pray. Lord, we come before you as we are. And we commit ourselves, Lord, in your hands. Lord, even as we are sitting here, we might still have our thoughts, our worries, that might easily distract us, Lord, from worshiping you this morning. But Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to worship you and to focus on you, Lord, knowing that you are there with us in all our situations, Lord. That you would lead us and you would guide us, Lord. Lord, we pray that you help us to have your joy and know of your presence in our lives, not just next few hours, but every moment of our life, Lord. We pray that you lead us, Lord, as we spend this time together worshiping you and glorifying you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. We will continue to spend some time in prayer. And the way we are going to do it, or the way we are going to spend this time together, is if you would like to be on your own and just pray for things that I would be sharing, you're more than welcome to do it. If you want to sit along with someone and pray for the things that I would be sharing, you are always welcome to do it. But we are just spending time in prayer together, either on your own or with someone else. I would be sharing prayer points to pray for after each interval, and then I would give some time for us to pray for those prayer points. As I was thinking about praying this morning, I thought it would be wonderful to start our year to pray for ourselves. A bit selfish, but to pray for us as a church family. Asking God to lead us, to guide us, to strengthen us, and most importantly, to use us for his glory. So we would be spending this time praying for our church family, for ourselves. So if you would like to join with someone, if you want to move away from your place and you think, oh, I would like to sit with that person, just take this time. So let's begin to pray. Let us start praying for our church this morning. Pray for anything that God lays on your heart. And pray that God helps us to see his presence in our church family more and more. Let's pray for various members of our church family. If you can think of a few names, take their names and pray for them. And ask for God's blessings, guidance, healing, wisdom upon them. Let's pray that we as a church family would continue to listen to God's voice. Pray for all the various ministries that we have within our church family, that we would continue to serve the Lord and meet the needs of those who are served through those ministries. Let's pray for God to open our eyes to see those aspects in our church family that we might not have seen thus far. Let's pray for those who are actively involved in various ministries within the church, who spend time preparing in serving the Lord through various means and ways. Let's pray that God would continue to give them strength and his guidance. Let's also pray that many among us would get ready to get involved in what God is doing within and through our church family. Let's also pray for those who are not well this morning. Let's pray for God's healing upon them. And let's pray for ourselves, that as we continue to be a part of this God's family, that God would use us for his glory. Let's pray for our everyday mission field, our workplaces, our time with our friends, time that we spend outside every day. Let's pray that God would continue to bring people in our lives to share his love and show that he loves them too. Lord, as we sit here and pray, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to see beyond our own lives, to see beyond our own circumstances, knowing that you are there to strengthen us and help us, Lord, in our own circumstances. Knowing that even if we are facing the most difficult times in our life, we are not alone in that. But Lord, we pray that even in those situations in our life, help us, Lord, to continue to serve you and to glorify you through our lives, Lord. As we have spent this time praying for our church family, Lord, this is our prayer, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to do things that you want us to do as a church family. We ask that you would guide us, Lord, that we would not depend on our own human wisdoms, Lord, but we would look towards you and work with and under your guidance, Lord. We want to glorify you, Lord, and we just want to glorify you. And help us, Lord, to do it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Can I request the team to please come and help us sing songs? The passage for this morning that we would be focusing on is taken from John chapter 15. And we would be focusing on the phrase "remain in me and the fruit." But I just want to read the whole passage, starting from verse 1 to verse 10.
This is what it says in the Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. This passage is a part of a long last day chat that Jesus is having with his disciples. Now, this whole story of where they are, if we look at that, in John chapter 13, we see that Jesus and disciples are gone up in the upper room. And before Jesus does anything, we see a great story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples, and then the whole proceeding for the evening begins. And that's where Jesus then starts talking about few important bits maybe he has to talk about, and then he's talking about all those things. Just before, or even in that evening, there was a man who was sitting in the room, suddenly abruptly ran away because Jesus was talking about someone is going to betray him. And Judas then left the room. So it was not like all happy things that are happening there. There must be a nervousness. There must be people, the other disciples must be questioning, seriously, him? They must be thinking, oh, that is really bad, and all that. And then in that, Jesus is telling them about Holy Spirit, and Jesus is telling them that you would have someone who is going to guide you. Jesus tells them that I am the way. And then Jesus brings something that was really brings a completely new perspective to what they were believing as people of Israel. And that's where we come to this John chapter 15. Now, the reason I have decided to pick this particular passage, I forgot to open my sermon notes, this particular passage on this morning is because this passage reminds us of a very important aspect that we as his people should do. Now, if you look at the biblical understanding of the word covenant, now covenant is always has been a part of biblical history. In fact, even in the book of Genesis, we see God making three covenants. And there can be more or less depending on what views or whom you follow. But there was a covenant that God made with Adam and Eve. There was a covenant that God made with Noah. There was a covenant that God made with Abraham. And then there are other covenants in the Bible. The important ones being the one that he made with David, and the most grand plan was the one that he finally kind of revealed when he himself, when God himself called it a new covenant that we see in the book of Jeremiah. So it is very much part of biblical story. Now, covenant, unlike New Year's resolution, I don't know if anybody has made any New Year's resolution that we have already broken, going to gym, eating healthy food, less phone, less time on our phones. Any such resolutions here? No. Unlike these resolutions, covenant will always have two parties involved in it. And unlike agreements or contracts, party cannot refuse to do what they have committed to do. If you are in contract or in agreement with someone, you are penalized if you break the terms of contracts, right? When covenant, it's beyond that. It's you morally stand by it. There's no way you can run away from it. Certain covenants that God made in the beginning involved him doing everything that was needed. And therefore, God did it. Do you think God might have failed doing his part in the covenant? He never. But the whole aspect of why God was doing this covenant, or why God was making this covenant, was because he wanted us, whom he has created, to continue to fellowship with him, to continue to be his people, to continue to follow him, to love him, and grow with him. I think that was the aim why he created Adam and Eve, why he created the Garden of Eden, why he gave them everything that was needed so that he can have fellowship with them. And all in all these covenants, God fulfilled his side of the story. Any guesses who failed? We failed. We couldn't fulfill our side of the story. And therefore, this passage is the key to continue to fulfill our side of the story. When I read this passage, whenever I read this passage, it is a very important truth. And I think the way Jesus has given that illustration of vine and the branches, it kind of makes the picture very, very clear what Jesus was trying to say here. Now, as I said in the beginning, I would be only focusing on remain in me and the word fruit. Now, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and when he suddenly goes and say, but wait, I am the true vine. For us, it might mean, that's good, good to know. But for them, it must be like, what is he saying? Because for them, in the Old Testament, if we see, people of Israel, or nation of Israel, was spoken as the grapevine. So thus far, for them, they were the grapevine. That was the vine. They were the main holders of that. If we read, one of the beautiful passages in book of Jeremiah, I think chapter 5, that I like, it talks about a farmer and his grapevine. And it talks about nation of Israel, where it says that, I did everything that I could do best. I provided the best soil, I provided the best care, and at the end of the day, what I got out of it? Sour grapes. And therefore, then Jesus, or God, even in his narrative, and prophets in their narrative, and people of Israel in their stories, looked at nation of Israel as the grapevine. And Jesus here sits with them and says, I am the grapevine. So for them, when Jesus said that, that was not just like, oh, another piece of information. It was replacing something that they were believing. And therefore, then it brings them the whole new understanding of what Jesus was trying to tell them, because then he's replacing them and saying that your very existence is through me. You cannot exist if you are not part of me. Yes, you are there as a big nation. You have a big temple there. You have your own society. You have freedom and everything. That's fine. But if you are not in me, you're not part of me, you're not connected to me, you are missing the whole aspect of life. Now the word remain can or means being somewhere. You know, objects can remain there if you don't pick them up for years and years together. Like those things in the households that remain there from the end of December till the beginning of December next year. And when then December comes, cleaning comes, we think, oh, next year I'll certainly throw this. And it just stays there for years and years. But the word remain, the way Jesus was using it, we need to understand in those times, there were a lot of different religious groups. Even within people of Israel, there were different sects or groups of, sects wouldn't be the right term, but then groups. Do you remember Pharisees and Sadducees? Yes? They were there. And once you become part of them, you continue to be a part of them. It was not like one day, oh, I want to be a part of this, or tomorrow I want to be a part of this, or maybe today I'll be a part of this. No. Because their belief system changed, their lifestyles changed, the way they used to do things, those things change. So if you decide to be a part of something, that is a lifelong commitment. It is not just like, because the season is changing and the weather is changing, I want to be or I don't want to be a part of it. So Jesus is trying to tell them, so if you want to remain in me, if that is what it is, if you want to have life, remain in me. And not just as an option, but because if you don't remain in me, you will not have life. Now, the passage is very, very clear. How does Jesus remain in our lives? Or how do we remain in Jesus? So when you read these words this morning, remain in him or remain in me, what does these words mean to us? The passage is very clear. There's a vine, there's a branch, there's fruit, there's life. 2025, 5th of Jan. Keep his commandments. Because Jesus talks about fruit. What does bearing fruit means? In this particular passage, what do you think bearing fruit, what is that Jesus is talking about?
Love one another.
Love one another.
What does bearing fruit means? Not that she is wrong. I'm just looking for more answers.
For me, it's sharing Jesus with people.
Sharing Jesus with people? Yeah. Yes, Margaret.
We need to love each other.
Yes. Can you say that again in the mic now?
We need to love each other.
Yes. Thank you, Margaret, for sharing that. Anybody else? Yeah, you don't have to be a registered member of the church. You can just share.
Living our lives in the way that God wants so that we show people that yes. Jesus is with us and alive.
Thank you.
We also need to encourage each other.
We need to encourage each other.
I think it also means all of the fruits of the Spirit, as well as putting your trust in him and leading your life according to his will rather than your own.
Yes, thank you for that. Most of the time when we read the word fruit, anybody raising hands? Sorry. Kate, so sorry, Kate.
I was just thinking of the word actual fruit. It's like the tree's only going to produce a good fruit in the first place if its roots go down into are nourished. So really it needs to be nourished by God in the first place in order to produce that fruit. So we can only share that fruit if we have that fruit to share. So we need to, roots go deep.
Yes, thank you. In the modern context, whenever we think of the word fruit, we think of winning souls, bringing people to Christ. And that's not wrong. But when Jesus was talking to them, that era of mission was yet to come. Jesus was yet to be ascended and he was yet to give them that big command to say, go into the ends of the earth and spread the word. He was still with them. And yet Jesus was telling them that your fruits will bring glory to God. And as we have rightly said, it is our life. It is who we are. It is living our life based on his words. And even when he was writing the book of John, or when John was writing book of John, or Gospel of John, they had a very limited words. Most of them were verbal words of Jesus. We have much more explanation and different translations and what it means, what are the better words and all those things today. Not many people were literate then. So if someone told them that was what Jesus has said, that became Jesus' word for them. But living our life based on Jesus' word, not on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday morning, 10:30 to 12:30, because we are part of the church, that's bearing the fruit. That is teeny part of a larger plan of God's for our life. It's not only when I get time to serve the Lord and I will do it and that's me bearing fruit. It's again a teeny part of the larger plan. But bearing fruit is living a life that is continuously in God's presence, knowing that God is here with me right now. Even when we are on our own, in front of our computers or laptops or mobile phones, even when we are on our own doing nothing but in our own thinking, even when we are doing some small, very not so important work, even when we are doing our shopping, even when we are doing anything that we do 24/7, living our life knowing that I belong to Christ is bearing fruit for God. Because I think John 15 is very clear that it brings glory to God. He is not talking about it takes witness to others. He is not talking about, it will help others to know. It brings glory to God. You know, I read this verse, and what's another verse that very closely kind of says the same truth again? Anybody remembers that verse? Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus talks about light. Let your light so shine, so that the world would see and glorify the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Thank you. And that's what it is. Our intention to live the life of based on God's truth is not to convince and witness and live the life so that they can think, oh, that's lovely. Our aim is to live a life that is based on God's word, to reflect God in everything that we do, so that world would just observe it. We don't have to advertise, I believe in God all the time. We have to live a life that displays God in and through our life.
So when we remain in Christ, we reflect Christ. When we live our life based on God's truth, we reflect His truth. And therefore, when we are here this morning for Covenant Sunday, when we are going to repeat those words and say those words together, and we are going to say, yes, we believe in this, it is to say that I would remain in Jesus. Not just because the words have been asked to say, but in every moment of my life, I would remain in Jesus and bear the fruits that the world would see and glorify Him. Can I request young people to please come in? And maybe even children, if they can be also called. I also wanted to repeat this truth for our young people. And when the children come, I want to repeat this for them as well. Because if we want them to stand with us and say the words of covenant, they also should know what it means. They should not just say it because we are asking them to say it. So all the members of church family, including young people and children, today we are having a Covenant Sunday. Covenant Sunday is a day when we say the covenant, say the words that why we believe or what we believe, and what we as a church family do. This morning, we focused on the passage which says, where Jesus says, remain in me. And we, as God's people, God's dear ones, should remain in Him. And how do we remain in Him? By reading His words, by growing in Him, and by knowing that Jesus loves us. One of the things that Jesus did to ultimately prove that He loves us, that He died for us on the cross. And that was His part of the story in the covenant. And as we would be taking part in the Lord's Supper, in remembrance of His love, in remembrance of His sacrifice, in the greatest act of love, it is also important to understand what it means for us. You know, it is also always important when we start our journey to set our destinations. So before we take part in communion, maybe we would set a destination as God's people. Can I please have the words on the slide? Yeah, you just... I was wondering, did I mess up so many things this morning? And when I say, when I set destination, that is what it is, because this is what we seek to be. Let's read it together.
We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and buried, descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, who will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the gathering of believers everywhere, the forgiveness of our sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen.